We want to talk about a man by the name of David for a little while this morning, and really what I want to emphasize to you about David is David's influence. David's influence. And I want us to understand, and I'll just go ahead and pop that up on the screen, that all of us, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we exert great influence upon others. The people that we live with, our families, the people that we associate with in our everyday walks of life, even our brethren, we exert great influence upon them as they exert influence upon us. Now you think about that. But what I want to emphasize about David at the beginning is this. David got off to a good start with God. David was a brave young man in the sight of God. And if you remember that the day that his father sent him out to check on his brothers that were standing against the Philistines, and this giant of a man by the name of Goliath, day after day, is come and issuing this great challenge to the Israelites. Well, I tell you what, just send somebody out that will do battle against me, and the one that wins will take the spoils. And this went on day after day after day. David gets out there, and here is this giant, and he is making a mockery out of the Israelites. And David said, King Saul said, I'll go and do battle with him. And the king said, why, David, you're just a boy. What in the world can you do against such a giant of a warrior as Goliath? David said, I'm not afraid. I am not at all afraid. The same God that delivers me from the bear and from the lion when I am overseeing the sheep will deliver me from this giant. And so they said, well, let's get all of this armament on you. And he said, no, I don't need that. Well, let's get you a weapon. No, I don't need anything but a slingshot. And here goes this young man out to do battle with a monster of a man. A man that we cannot visualize in our minds as to his strength, his stature, the enormity of his size. And here's this boy. This boy is not afraid. And he goes out and he has this rock that he puts in his sling. And when everything is right, he gave the sling of the slingshot and the rock embedded in the forehead of the giant and took his life. Why'd that happen? God made it happen. And let me tell you something, and I don't want to get tied up in this lesson. That's not our point. But let me tell you, I don't know what your problems are today. But I don't care how big your problems are. God can take care of those problems. I don't care what the situation is in your life. Don't you ever doubt God. And David didn't. And we don't need to doubt God either. Well, needless to say, the popularity of David spread in regard to what he did for the Israelites. And David became a very popular young man. The people were in adoration of Him. They sung His praises. And David exerted great influence upon his fellow citizens. But Saul didn't like it, did he? In fact, he became envious of David to the point that he began to consider him a grave threat. But you know what? Here again, God was with David. And I want you to understand, brethren, that many times in this life, we need God on our side. We need God to be with us. What did the Roman Paul say in writing to the church at Romans? In Romans 8, in verse 28, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. You love the Lord? Then God's on your side. And God will stand with you. God will stand by you. And God will help you all along the pathway of life. And ultimately, what happens? David becomes king. So you see in the early stages of David's life what kind of a man that David was and the influence that he was having upon his people. He was a leader. He was strong. He had proved his confidence in God. He had proved that God was with him. And everything was good about David's life. But now I want you to notice, things began to change. You remember when David had the affair with Bathsheba? That should never have happened, brethren. And later on, David knew full well that it should not have happened. But it did. And I can only imagine to go through that kind of a situation and to have to bear the shame, to have to bear how disrespectful it was toward God, and the influence that it had upon others. But yet, David did it. The same David that we said all of the good things about had an affair with a woman who wasn't his wife. And what happened? They conceived a child. And I want to show you something else about that. That child was just as innocent as he could be. It wasn't the child's fault, but the child lost his life. And David said, I have lost my child. And he cannot come back to me, but I can go to him. But you know, there's something else. David had a son by the name of Absalom. And Absalom, I'm sure that David loved him. As fathers today love their children, David loved Absalom. But Absalom became power hungry. And he decided that he wanted his father's kingdom. And he was willing to go to battle to get that kingdom. And he did. And he did. And what happened to him? He ended up losing his life by being hanged in a tree. His animal ran out from under him. And there he is with his neck hung in that tree. And it took his life. And David's messengers were afraid to tell him. But he said, I want to know about the boy. And they said, David, Absalom's dead. He's dead. And he said, oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, would God that I had died for thee. I wish it had been me rather than my son. What I am trying to show you, brethren, is the good and the bad that took place in this man's life. And many times because of poor influence, we bring consequences upon others, don't we? I'm going to show you that in our lesson this morning. In 2 Samuel 24, look carefully in verse 10. What does David openly say? And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. I've sinned. And I have lived so foolishly before you. Have you ever had to tell God that? God, I've sinned. I really messed up this time and I'm sorry. I am so sorry that I have taken the course that I've taken, that I've said what I've said, that I've done what I've done. I am sorry. When Nathan confronted David about his affair with Bathsheba, what did David say? David ultimately said, I have sinned. I've sinned. What's the old expression? There's no fool like an old fool. You ever been an old fool? You ever done things that when you look back, you think, how foolish on my part. How foolish on my part. And brethren, understand now, that's how David feels. Look at his admissions. I'm a sinner, and I'm a fool. Now, I want you to tell me now, what kind of influence could a man like this have on anybody? Are you in this category this morning? If you are, then you tell me what kind of influence that you're having upon others. Are you a sinner? Are you living the life of a fool? And in so living, what you're bringing to bear in the hearts and the lives of others. Never will forget one time having a conversation with a man. And we were talking about going to church. And he said, I don't go to church, but I make sure that my kids do. I said, well, I just wonder about that. What are you saying to them? Oh, it's good enough for you, not good enough for me. It may be important for you, but it's not important for me. What kind of influence is that, brethren? How in the world could those kids ever take going to church seriously when it wasn't good enough for their dad? Their dad didn't have to go, but he made sure they did. I can only imagine how others are looking at David. Self-examination What did Paul say? Let a man examine himself whether he be in the faith. Before we partook of the emblems this morning, what did Paul say? He said, you examine yourself as to whether or not you partake of these emblems worthily. Do you do that? Do you examine yourself? I'll tell you one thing. If you ate and drank unworthily, he said, you eat and drink damnation to your soul. Self-examination. And when David looked at himself, and he thought back at the good times, and he thought of the bad times, what do you think his conclusion was? What kind of a person are you this morning? My brother or sister? Or my friend? What kind of a person are you? God sends a prophet, the name of Gad, to tell David to pick his punishment. Yeah. David, I know you're a sinner. I know that you have lived foolishly. And I'm going to punish you. I'm going to punish you. But I tell you what, I'm going to let you pick your punishment. And he gives him three choices to pick from. Now, I want you to listen to these choices. He said you can pick 7 years of famine upon your land. You can flee 3 months from thine enemies while they pursue you. Or you can have 3 days of pestilence in thy land. What are you going to choose, David? What are you going to choose? 7 years, 3 months, 3 days. What are you going to choose? Oh yeah, I'm going to punish you. You're a sinner. You've acted foolishly. And I am going to punish you. But I'm going to let you pick which one of these. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 14. David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. You know what he meant? He said, I don't know what to pick. Now, I tell you what you do this morning. You put yourself in David's shoes. What would you choose? I wouldn't want any one of the three, would you? That's the thing. David didn't either. But where did it come from? David brought it upon himself. Even as we bring consequences upon ourselves by poor judgment, poor choices, and bad influences. I tell you, Gad, I'm in a strait. I'm in a fix. I don't know which way to turn. Do you? What would you have done? David just simply didn't know what to choose. This great man that confronted a giant, that led a nation, that was a great warrior, doesn't know what to choose. Consequences for bad choices. You ever heard somebody say, well, you know, I just don't understand why some of the things that happen today happen. I just don't understand that. You ever think that God might have a hand in it? Have you ever thought about that God may be trying to send a message? Oh, no. God doesn't work that way. Now, wait a minute. What did the Hebrew writer say about God? He said God chastises His people or else They are illegitimate children. Yes. I believe God chastises His people because the Hebrew writer said He did. And I must believe that. And I'll guarantee you David's in a predicament now. But David is not in this thing alone. And that's the point that I want you to take home with you today. Most of the time, you're not in the situation alone. Well, whatever I decide is not going to affect anybody other than me. Sure it will. Sure it will. You think it's not going to affect your family? You think it's not going to affect your reputation? You don't think it'll affect your standing? How many times have fathers and mothers had their hearts broken by poor choices on the part of their children? Well, I just didn't think about that. David wasn't thinking very much when he had that affair with Bathsheba, was he? You see the consequences that it brought upon others because of what David did? It cost an innocent man his life. Uriah didn't have anything to do with it, but he died. That baby didn't have anything to do with it, but he died. David said, I just didn't weigh this thing through. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. 70,000. What caused that, David? David caused it. Oh, now wait a minute. How is it David's fault? Because he sinned and was foolish? I probably shouldn't say what I'm fixing to say. But I believe the only way that I won't say it is if the Lord cuts my tongue out. And I don't think He's going to do that. But on the day of judgment, how many people are going to be able to look at you and say, if you hadn't have done so and so, if you hadn't have gotten me in the mess that you got me into, if you hadn't have taken me where you took me, if you hadn't have led me on like you led me on, I would not be about to lose my soul. 70,000 are dead. You see the power and the anger of God? Oh, God loves everybody. God's going to save everybody. All in the world that you've got to do in order to go to heaven is just die. Nope. That's not true, my friend. And if you believe that, you better have a cold, hard look at reality. Everybody's not going to go to heaven. Everybody is not deserving of heaven. Everybody will not obey God. They could, but they won't. In fact, in Matthew 7, the Lord said the majority of people are going to be lost because they want to travel that wide way and go in through that broad gate. That's what they want to do. 70,000 people. And it's not over with yet. In fact, and when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people. It is enough. It is enough. Stay now. Thine hand. It's enough. I want you to think about that this morning. God said that's enough. 70,000 people have died. That's enough. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, and this is what breaks my heart about people. Do you think on Judgment Day that the Lord wants to look at you and say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting punishment"? You think that's what He wants to say to you? No. That's the furthest thing from the mind of the Lord. But He will. He will. If we fail to rid our life of sin, sin is the separator. Sin is the villain. Sin is the one that is populating a devil's hell. Sin. David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, now this is what I want you to watch. Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. What these people do? Why are you punishing them? I'm the one. My father's house. Don't punish my people. Don't do that. You ever feel that way? I wonder sometimes if some people have much feeling. But I want you to consider this morning, David, in spite of a lot of things that he did, was deep in his heart a good man. Good man that made some bad choices, made some bad mistakes. In fact, the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And look at his wisdom here. If you're going to punish, punish me. Punish me. Don't take it out on my sheep. I want you to look at that and I want you to think about it. Is anyone else today being punished because of you? Is anybody else looking at being punished because of you? I don't know the answer to that. I cannot answer that on anybody other than myself. You see how easy to bring bad things upon others by knowing us, associating with us, living with us. How easy. How easy. I dare say this morning, with your children, what have they learned about life from you? Good or bad? Good qualities, bad qualities. That's my son. That's my daughter. And I am so proud, or I am so ashamed. And how about the time that the son or the daughter looks at you and says, "But Dad, you had a hand in it. You had a hand in it." I don't know what David could have done differently with Absalom. I don't know. I'll never know. But David did and Absalom did. Someone said, "Well, David tried to straighten his life up." I pray so. Please consider what I am about to say to you very carefully. And then I'm going to sit down. And I want you to ponder what I'm about to say. Do we influence our children for the better or for the worse? I go back to my childhood. And I go back to watching everything that my daddy did. And how I wanted to be just like my daddy. Just like him. I wanted his mannerisms. I wanted to have his wisdom. And I wanted to have other people's respect that he had. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be just like my daddy. And that's why the day that I lost my dad, it tore my heart out. And it will never again be right in my life. I can't do anything about that. But I'm asking you today, what kind of an influence are you having upon your children? For the better or the worse? Do we influence our friends for the better or the worse? At Vacation Bible School, that's what I talked about the last hour of the day. Here in the auditorium was friendship. And I talked about that many of us don't have a lot of true friends. We have acquaintances. We have people that we pass and repass with. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But we don't have a lot of really true friends. But I'm asking you today, what kind of influence do you have upon your friends? They value you, or they wouldn't be your friend. They value. They put a value upon their relationship with you. And so that gives you an opportunity to influence them, to be what you are trying to influence them to be. What kind of influence do you have on your brethren? Better or worse? I never will forget one time someone asked me, "How'd you learn how to preach? How'd you learn how to do that? Where'd you go to school? How much college do you have? Where'd you learn how to preach?" And basically all I could say was, "I don't have any college." I had a man that took a lot of interest in me when I was in high school in regard to public speaking, and he got me started. But I'm going to tell you something. My brethren had a lot of influence on me. When I was young and trying to preach and go to these little congregations where there would be 7, 8, 10 people, And they'd come up when the lesson was pitiful, and they'd say, "You keep trying. Don't quit. You just keep trying. You're going to get better? You think so? Yeah, you'll get better." Well, I bet they got tired of saying that. "You're going to get better." But you know what? Hopefully, in time, and with the help of my brethren and my family, I hope I've gotten some better. And I'm going to tell you something now. You brethren and our relationship ought to really mean something to each and every one of us. I could just start calling names of brethren that have influenced me, but I'm not going to do that. I am just so thankful that God has allowed me to reach this point in my life. Through the good and the bad, the hard times, the good times. And to be privileged to stand here on this July the 27th and look you in the eye and say, thank you. Thank you. But I'm asking you in conclusion this morning, are you going to take somebody to heaven with you? I firmly believe, brethren, with all of my heart, that we're either going to take somebody to heaven with us, or we're going to take somebody to hell with us. One of the two. And I don't know. I don't know where you want to take that person. I know where I want to take the person that's going with me. I don't want to miss it. And I don't want any one of you to miss it. Heaven. Heaven. Shake glad hands with the elders. Bid my kindred good morning. Then I'm going to sit down beside of my Jesus. And I'm going to rest a little while. I've listened to that song so many times this past week. Sit down beside of my Jesus, and I'm going to rest a little while. You want to do that today? You want to make preparations today? Then I'm asking you, when we stand and sing this song, you respond, and you come, and you say, "I want to change today. I want to become a child of God today. I want to get back where I need to be today because I want to go to heaven." Come right now as we stand and as we sing.